We have Brother George Stabak who will give us a discourse on the Passover feast. It will be illustrated by slide. There will be many charts, and copies of these charts will be available after the meeting at the rear of the hall. We'll now turn the podium over to Brother George.
Thank you, Brother Joe. We would just like to begin by bringing you the love from one of our dear brethren. We had the opportunity of visiting Sister Whiteside this last Tuesday. She couldn't say anything but one word repeatedly in our entire visit, and it was the word experience. That's all she could say. But we know she recognized what we were talking about, because when we would ask her a question of some sort, to listen for a response, she would squeeze our hand and squeeze each side of my face, as if to say she understood, and it was a very touching experience for us. She sends her love to the brethren. Indeed, she is going through perhaps the most difficult experience of our Christian way. In our study this afternoon, brethren, we're going to be considering a type of the law. Recall in Matthew 5:18, we're told that not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And the aspect that we're going to consider to see that indeed it did not pass without being fulfilled is the Passover feast. Particularly, we will begin with Leviticus 23:5-11. And in a general way, I'm sure you recall how it showed that on the 14th was the Passover, the 15th was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the 16th was the time when they waved the first fruits of the harvest of the land. And as we consider this, we'll see what a wonderful timekeeper our Heavenly Father is. His foreknowledge and wisdom planned from the very beginning of the foundations of the earth the exact details of even the very day, but not only day, but even the hour that our Lord would die and be raised from the tomb. In Leviticus 23:5, we read, "In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." Verses 6 and 7, "And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto the Lord 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. The first day ye shall have a holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein." So now this 15th day, the first day of unleavened bread, was a holy convocation, a special Sabbath day for Israel. We go on to verses 10 and 11. "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I will give you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf." This is really should be an omer, and it has a thought of a handful. An omer of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. "And ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it." Notice the morrow after the Sabbath. The Sabbath that is being referred to is the 15th. That was the holy day, a Sabbath. This is when they were to wave the first fruits of the harvest. But something we want to call attention on, we'll get into it a bit later, is this portion of the service, the 16th, where the fruits were waved, did not take place until they entered the promised land. It wasn't at the first Passover, at the Exodus. Notice, "When you come into the land which I will give you, then you will offer this first fruit." And so, brethren, in a general way now, we see our picture. The 14th is the Passover lamb was slain, picturing our Lord's death. The 15th is a holy day, a Sabbath. Our Lord was in the tomb this day. And then on the morrow after the Sabbath, the 16th, he was raised from the dead, being the antitypical first fruits that were offered. He was the firstborn of the dead, as it were, of the church of the firstborn. And so in a general way, we see this, by the way, is the only type that showed how long Jesus would be in the tomb, in death. It was parts of 3 days. But now, what we want to consider is, we see so far a general type, these 3 days, but is there any specific time in which the lamb was to be slain with an antitype? Or is there any specific time the first fruits were to be waved with an antitype? We would like to now begin to show that there was. That there was a specificness to both of these that were part of the chronological type. Let's begin with showing the specificness as when the first fruits were to be waved. Joshua 4:19 tells us that Israel entered the promised land on the 10th day. And recall, the first observance of this 16th feast, or the first fruits, wasn't until they entered the land. So they entered on the 10th day of Nisan, the time when the lamb in the first Passover was brought into the home. And then Joshua 5, in the 5th chapter, it goes on to tell us they observed on the 14th, 4 days after they entered the land, or 5 days, they observed the Passover. And then they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th. But now, a remarkable occurrence happened on this day. You recall, Israel for 40 years were fed manna. Well, the 15th, they entered on the 10th, and on the 15th was the last day Israel ate manna. It was provided in the morning, and they ate manna that day, and never again did they eat manna. And part of the law in Leviticus 23 said, in addition, on this 16th day when they entered the land, they would first have to wave the first fruits of the land before any meals could be eaten that day from the new harvest. And so this day they had manna, and here they had to wave the first fruits before they could eat anything. So there's an implication here that the first fruits were waved the first thing in the day at sunrise so that they in turn could eat something here. No longer did they have manna. So the first indicator is that it was offered, the first fruits were offered at sunrise, the 16th. But there's another reason that we think it was at sunrise, and you could see what we're leading up to. This is when our Lord was raised from the tomb. We're trying to show that the type portrayed the exact hour. You remember that Israel was to observe a continual sacrifice every day of the year. There was to be a lamb offered in the morning and one in the evening. That lamb was offered in the morning at sunrise. But now, in addition, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 7 days, started with the 15th, they were to offer additional sacrifices. Here you notice it was the 15th day. You shall offer a sacrifice made by fire of a burnt offering, 2 young bullocks, a ram, 7 lambs. But notice when they were to offer this additional sacrifice. You shall offer these beside the burnt offering in the morning, which is for a continual burnt offering, daily throughout the 7 days. So on the feast days, the 7 days of feast, there was the continual morning sacrifice, followed now by these animals sacrificed every day of the feast. But now there was a third sacrifice, the same time, Leviticus 23:11-13. At the same time that they offered the first fruits of the land, in addition, that day when you wave the sheaf, an he-lamb without blemish should be offered. And so, brethren, we believe this is pointing to the fact that it was at 6 o'clock, sunrise, the morning of the 16th, that the first fruits were waved. Because that's when the continual morning sacrifice was offered. Together with that, they were to offer the 7 day feast sacrifices. And together with the first fruits, they would offer the he-lamb. And then after that first fruit was offered, they could then eat of the fruit of the land. And so, brethren, we see how precisely the antitype was fulfilled. Matthew 28, 1 and 2. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, notice, at dawn, the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone. And so we see the fulfillment of this aspect of the type. It didn't pass away precisely at the right time. 6 a.m, as the first fruits were weighed, Jesus became the first fruit of the dead, rising from the tomb the first day of the week. Well, now seeing that this beautiful type portrayed precisely the time that Jesus was raised, we come to the 14th, and we all perhaps realize that there has been differences of opinion for centuries. When was the Passover lamb slain? Was it at 3 p.m. exactly at the time our Lord was slain? Or was it after 6 p.m. at the beginning of the 14th? We realize that Brother Russell even has two views of the subject. But notice, as we go through it, we're going to endeavor to show that it was at 3. If it was shortly after 6, what would have been typified by the lamb being slain at this time? Well, nothing other than it was the 14th. But if it was slain at 3, it would be an exact, precise, chronological type of the time our Lord died. Well, the difference stems from Exodus 12:6. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Notice here we have a number 5 in a marginal rendering. The lamb was to be killed between the evenings. Well, what is meant by between the evenings? Well, there are several views. One view is that the evening here at 6 p.m. sunset, that's the first evening. The second evening was when it became pitch dark, and the time in between was the between the evenings when the lamb was to be slain. There's another view that possibly between the evenings means any time between 6 p.m. sunset there and 6 p.m. here. The lamb could be slain any time. We don't believe that that could be correct, because the very same phrase, between the evenings, is what was used relative to the continual sacrifice. One was to be in the morning, the other between the evenings. So if it meant any time between these two times, it would make no distinction, because there was to be one in the morning and one in the evening, between the evening. Well, the third view, the one we believe is correct, is shown on the bottom portion of our chart. And that is, the first evening was when the sun reached its zenith at 12 noon and began to decline. That was when the first evening occurred, 12 noon. The second was when the sun fully set at 6 p.m. Between the evenings, therefore, would be at 3 o'clock, our time. Jewish reckoning, of course, they called it the ninth hour. And you recall that it was at the ninth hour that our Lord died. Matthew 27:45-50. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. Jesus died at the ninth hour, and it would coincide precisely with the aspect of the lamb being slain at 3. Let's go on to note various Hebrew scholars which point towards 3 o'clock. This is Lang's commentary from Exodus 12:6. We'll just read point 3 here. He gives various possibilities, but here's his third. Between the decline of the day and sunset, according to Josephus, the Mishnah, and the practice of the Jews. Without doubt, this is the correct explanation. McClintock and Strong's under Passover. Tradition, however, interprets the phrase between the two evenings to mean from afternoon to the disappearing of the sun, the first evening being from the time when the sun begins to decline from its vertical or noontide point towards the west, and the second from its going down and vanishing out of sight. Our third quote is from a historian, Josephus, who lived in, well, he was born in A.D. 37. And he recorded history as it occurred, and this particular aspect is in his Book of Wars, Book 6, Chapter 9, Paragraph 3. And it was at the time of Titus's destruction of Jerusalem. So these high priests, upon the coming of their feast, which is called the Passover, when they slay their sacrifices, and notice when the Jews were slaying the Passover sacrifices from the ninth hour to the 11th. The ninth hour. And notice, brethren, just out of a sidelight, how many were sacrificed at the time of A.D. 69 or 70. The number of sacrifices was 256,500. There were 20 to a lamb. And then he goes on to show how many people. 256,500 lambs were sacrificed. But the point we want to note is the ninth hour. Leiser's translation of Exodus 12:6, which is a translation of the best Jewish authorities, is this: "You shall have it in keeping until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it toward evening." He consistently translates it toward evening, towards the end of the day. Now we would like to go on to scriptures where the Passover was observed to show that indeed it must have been towards the end of the day at 3 p.m. This was in the time of Josiah, 2 Chronicles 35, 1, 11, and 13. The Passover was on the 14th day. They roasted the Passover. And then notice verses 14 and 16. "And afterwards they," the "they" here are referring to the Levites, "and afterwards the Levites made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busied in offering of burnt offerings and the fat until night." Notice the import of that, brethren. The priests were busy offering the sacrifices till night, because they started here in the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And they were busy trying to slay all the animals of the Israelites. They were busy all the way till night. So the Levites had to prepare the Passover for them and for the priests. Now, brethren, we'd like to go to Passover at the time of our Lord's death, when our Lord observed his Last Supper. And what we're going to try to see here is that when our Lord partook of his Last Supper, it of necessity, the killing of the lamb was one day, and the eating of it was the next. It was slain at three, and then it was dressed, and it was roasted, and then it was eaten after six the following day. We won't get into it now, but a bit later, but Jesus partook of this Last Supper one day earlier than most of the Jewish people. We'll get into the reason why a bit later. But suffice to say now to see that it had to be the lamb was slain one day and it was eaten the next. Mark 14, 12 to 17. "On the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said, Where wilt thou that we prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" So first of all, let's note, a question is asked on the very day that they killed the Passover. So this question was asked on what was supposedly the 14th. And notice everything that had to take place this day before they ate it. They asked the question, and he says, He sendeth forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, Go into the city, and there you'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The Master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Now notice, brethren, there's quite a few things having to be done here. And then, not only that, but Jesus waited. Because notice it says, And in the evening he cometh with the 12. Brethren, what we're trying to show is that it's impossible for all these things to occur in this period of time. To ask the question on the day of the 14th, journey to the city, find the man, kill the lamb, dress the lamb, roast the lamb, and all this is supposed to happen before Jesus comes at even. Rather, we believe that it took place as the Passover lamb was slain at 3. The question was asked, again, we think it was on the 14th, the day they killed the lamb. They thought it was the 14th. Really, it was the day early. But here was the question asked. Where will we kill the Passover? Prepare it. And the Lord says, Journey to the city. Find the man. Prepare the last Passover. It was during the daytime here of this day that the lamb was to be killed. At 3 o'clock, they slew the lamb. They dressed it. And they roasted the lamb. And then at even, here at 6 p.m., when the next day was to start, as Mark 14:17 Revised says, And when it was evening, he came with the 12. Or as Luke 22:14 says, And when the hour was come. What was the hour that was being referred to if all this was to take place right in this little tiny bit of time? No, it took place during the day. And then when it was evening, when the correct hour came, he ate the Last Supper after 6. And then after the Last Supper, he instituted the memorial. The memorial was instituted on the same day in which he died. Here is the actual 14th of Nisan. This lamb slaying was a day early. Jesus died at 3, the same time that Israel killed their Passover. Memorial instituted the night of the 14th. Well, now we want to consider how many days of unleavened bread were there? How many total days? Was it 7 or 8? Now, if we were to think that the lamb was eaten at the beginning of the 14th and eaten that day, then we would have 8 days of unleavened bread, because the 7 days was to begin with the 15th. That was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we would have 7 days here, plus 1 day of the Passover lamb being eaten. You would have a total of 8 days of eating of unleavened bread. Well, brethren, what we will want to go on to show is that every reference to how many days unleavened bread were eaten, it is always 7, including the Passover meal. Never is it 8. And the reason for it is this. The lamb was slain at 3 in the afternoon. It was dressed. Then the lamb was roasted. And the eating of the lamb took place on the 15th of Nisan. In other words, the eating of the Passover lamb was in reality the same as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The lamb, the Passover lamb being eaten, is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it was on the 15th here at midnight the firstborn were slain. We'll get into that a bit more. Now notice the scriptures that show there were only 7 days of unleavened bread. Ezekiel 45:21. In the first month, the 14th day of the month, he shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days, unleavened bread. 7 days. Deuteronomy 16:2-4. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name. thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread. Do we grasp the import of this scripture, brethren? It says they're not to eat any leavened bread with the Passover, but the total time they eat unleavened bread is 7 days. The Passover feast isn't an eighth day, a day earlier than the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's only seven total, because it is one and the same, as we mentioned before. The Passover meal is in reality the first day of the feast, 7 days only, because here was the time where they were supposed to observe 7 days of unleavened bread. Now let's go back to Exodus, the 12th chapter of the first Passover night, verses 11 through 17. Describes the situation of the scene that was about to take place. Verse 11, "Thus shall ye eat it," this is the Passover meal, "with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, for it's the Lord's Passover. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall keep it a feast. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread." Now, brethren, what is being called to our attention by this day? "This day shall be unto you for a memorial." Notice, brethren, that it's tying in this feast, this memorial, the day that God wanted them never to forget, with the passing over of their firstborn. We can go to the next slide. It was because they rejoiced in their firstborn. The lamb was slain at three, roasted here, and the 15th came. And this is the feast that the Lord wanted to commemorate. The passing over. Here is where the firstborn were slain in Egypt at 12 midnight. And this is what God wanted to commemorate by a feast forever. Don't ever forget the time your firstborn were spared. And that feast was to be how long? 7 days. It was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What we're really trying to show, brethren, is that this Passover meal is not a separate meal, not a separate feast from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They are one and the same. We think the next scripture will help to show this, that this feast of the eating of the Passover is the same. Exodus 23:14-16. In this scripture, it tells them how many feasts Israel are to observe in the year. There are only three, and there is no Passover feast mentioned. Notice, "Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days. The next feast, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, and then the feast of ingathering." Notice, brethren, there's no mention of a Passover feast. Why? Well, because the Passover feast, in reality, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is one and the same. Well, the question might be brought up, well, could it be that the Passover isn't mentioned here as one of the three feasts because perhaps the Lord didn't look at it as a feast, but as a sacrificial meal, not a feast? Well, you recall that Exodus 12:14 referred to it as a feast. But since there could be question on it, let's look at Exodus 34:25. The Passover meal is indeed referred to as a feast. "Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto mourning. The feast of the Passover is referred to as a feast. Yet there are only three, and one is the unleavened bread feast. Well, brethren, the reason why is they are really one and the same. The eating of the Passover feast was on the 15th. It is the same as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Israel was to commemorate this feast, this great memorial, was because of the passing over of their firstborn. There's one scripture, however, brethren, that at first reading seems to imply they ate unleavened bread 8 days. And that's Exodus 12, 18, and 19. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. Well, now, notice what it's saying. If it says on the 14th day of the month, well, here's the 14th. Now, if we were to count that as one day, then they were to eat unleavened bread from the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, all the way up here to the 21st. If the 14th was the first, the 21st day would be the 8th day, and they would be eating unleavened bread seemingly 8 days. But notice the next verse, 19. It doesn't say 8. 7 days shalt there be no leaven found in your home or house. And the reason for it is easily to explain. Notice the terminology as to when they were to begin 7 days of unleavened bread. The first month and the 14th day of the month at even. Now, the even that is referred to here is not the between the evening. It is just the word evening that brings a close to the end of the day. It is referring to the evening, 6 p.m., that closes, that finishes the day, as it were. And so the scripture is actually telling us that from the 14th day of the month at even, exactly or precisely when that 14th day ends, there shouldn't be any leaven in your home. From the 14th day at even shall you begin to eat unleavened bread. And then it does show that on the 21st day it is 7 days, and it harmonizes the fact that they were to eat unleavened bread just 7 days, not 8. Now, brethren, we'd like to go on to consider the Exodus from Egypt to see how the scriptures relative to that concur. Exodus 12:11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. But here we believe the lamb was slain on the 14th. They roasted it, and then this night when they began the supper, they were to be ready for a journey, dressed for it, staff in hand, ready to leave. Exodus 12:29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land. And so here in the beginning of the 15th they ate the lamb, and then at midnight, 12 o'clock, the firstborn are slain in Egypt. And it is this time that the firstborn of Israel were spared. They were passed over. This is why the name of the feast is a Passover feast. The homes were passed over. This is why Israel was to commemorate this with a feast forever on this 15th day, to commemorate that passing over. Exodus 12, 31 and 33. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We are all dead men. So here the firstborn were slain, and then at night, after the slaying, Pharaoh calls Moses, and he says, Go, go, before we all be dead men. And notice how all of these things harmonize, brethren, with here the 15th. Here is the time they left Egypt, Numbers 33:1-4. These are the journeys of the children of Israel which went forth out of the land of Egypt. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the month. This is the 15th. On the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. Again, they ate the lamb. Midnight, the firstborn slain. Pharaoh calls them by night. And the 15th is this day, right here. This is entirely the 15th. They leave Egypt on the morrow after they killed the Passover lamb. Deuteronomy 16:1. Confirms for us that Israel left Egypt by night. 16:1, God brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt by night. And so here is the Exodus by night, Deuteronomy 16:1. Notice how all these scriptures harmonize with the 15th here being the time in which they ate the lamb, firstborn, passed over. They start the Exodus by night. They left on the 15th. But now, just very briefly, if the upper view were correct, that is, that the lamb was slain at the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, notice a few of its implications. Numbers 33:3 said they left on the 15th, which is here. And it says they left by night, so it would be here. So from the time of midnight when the firstborn were slain to here would be an 18-hour delay. But it could be reasoned, well, they were starting the journey even here because they were dressed, staff in hand, and they could have started and not left until here from some central location. But notice, brethren, that if this were so, Israel would have gone 3 days and 2 nights without sleep. The day of the 13th, the night of the Passover, the slaying, dress for a journey, the day of the 14th, the night of the 15th, because this is where it tells us they left Egypt by night, and it was on the 15th, so it would be all this night, and then all of this day before they would sleep. 3 days and 2 nights. But another difficulty to harmonize is that Exodus 12:37-39 tells us of the first meal Israel ate after the Passover meal. And it was after they journeyed from Ramesses, which would have had to have taken place on the 15th, to Sukkoth. So it would be a minimum of 20 hours that they would be without food, plus the time that it took to journey from Ramesses to Sukkoth. Many difficulties to harmonize, but here it is all so beautifully simple. A lamb is slain at the end of the 14th at 3, roasted. They eat the Passover lamb this night of the 15th. Midnight, the firstborn slain. Israel's firstborn are passed over. They leave Egypt on the 15th, and the Exodus starts at night when they were as they were dressed for a journey. Well, now we want to go to the Anatite. And as we do, brethren, what we will find is this. Our Lord was slain, crucified, died at 3 o'clock on the 14th of Nisan. From many scriptures, it'll show that it was the day of preparation for Israel. And what is meant by that is that that is when they slew their lamb, dressed it, prepared it, roasted it to eat the following day. So our Lord died here, and the implication of necessity is that he partook of the Last Supper 1 day earlier than Israel as a whole. That it was slain here, they ate the supper here, and the memorial instituted here. Well, let's go on to show that this is the case. Our Lord partook 1 day earlier. John's Gospel is the one that deals more closely with the closing experiences of Jesus' life than all the others. Notice how carefully he itemizes, he brings to our attention time elements. The time element here in John 13, 1 and 2 is the Last Supper, supper being ended. Notice here in the second verse. But when was this supper, the Last Supper? It was before the feast of the Passover. The Last Supper was before the feast of the Passover of the Jews, when Jesus knew his hour was come. John 19:14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. Now this is referring to the time here in the middle of the day of the 14th, and notice again, it refers to the fact that it was the preparation of the Passover. This was the day Israel was preparing to kill their lamb at 3. John 19:31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Notice again, brethren, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, wanted to break their legs so that the Jesus wouldn't be, and the two thieves, upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Preparation again. They were preparing their feast, their animal, their lambs was slain to eat this day. And so we notice here that the day Jesus died was the day before the Sabbath day. So it was a Saturday. We want to reflect back on that later. Jesus died on a day before the Sabbath. Friday. Notice, in addition, this Sabbath day is called a high day. Why is it a high day? Well, because it was in reality two Sabbath days at the same time. It was the Sabbath of the week, number one Sabbath, and secondly, it was the holy convocation, or the Sabbath of the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You recall that the 15th, which this is, was to be a holy convocation, a Sabbath day. And since this 15th day fell on the Sabbath of the week, it was a high Sabbath. Double. Sabbath day for this Sabbath was a high day. Now notice these three other gospel writers all concur that it was the day of preparation that Jesus died. Matthew 27:62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together. Mark 15:42-43. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. It was the day of preparation. They killed a lamb and prepared it to eat here. Luke 23:54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. All concurring, Jesus died on a Friday before the Sabbath, and this day was a day of preparation. Now the next scripture is the most positive, clearly to show Jesus ate the Last Supper one day earlier than Israel. John 18:28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, that is, it was early here in the day, the 14th, and they themselves, that is, the Pharisees, they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Do we see the import, brethren? The Pharisees, early in the day, didn't want to go into the temple so that they would be defiled and couldn't eat the Passover following. They were going to eat it yet future. Jesus had already eaten it earlier than that. One day before Israel. We'd like to quote from Brother Russell on these particular scriptures in Watchtower Reprints 2771. The lesson points us to the first institution of this memorial, indicating that it was celebrated on the day before the Passover proper began, on the 14th of Nisan. The law respecting the Passover was very exact. The lamb was to be taken into the house on the 10th day of Nisan, was to be killed on the 14th, notice, killed on the 14th, and was to be eaten during the night before the dawn of the 15th. Lamb killed the 14th, eaten on before dawn of the 15th. Killed one day, eaten the next. In the Anatite, Jesus offered himself to the nation on the 10th, but they, except his faithful few, neglected to receive him. And on the 14th, he was crucified. Let's skip a little. There can be no doubt from the account that our Lord and his disciples ate the Passover supper on the day preceding the one on which the Jews in general ate it. For in John's Gospel we read, 1828-1914, that when our Lord was before Pilate in the judgment hall, which was after he had eaten the Passover, the Pharisees, his accusers, had not yet eaten it, nor would they eat it until the evening after his crucifixion. Well, now the question is, brethren, why? Why did our Lord eat a meal that appeared to be a Passover a day early? Well, we know he wanted to institute a memorial, but why did it appear as if it was a Passover? Well, brethren, our answer is we don't know. Many, many possibilities have been put forth. The one that appeals most to us is what we'll mention, but we can't be sure. And that is this. There were differences of opinion in Israel as to what should be the new moon that began their new year. Their new year began with the first new moon after the spring equinox. And then the Passover was 14 days later. But you know, a new moon happens at a different time every year. Now, just supposing a new moon took place at 5:59 or at 6:01. How do you decipher that? Which day is the first day of the new moon, and which day would you then count as the 14th? It had areas of difference of opinion, especially since 2 days before a new moon, usually you can't see it until 2 days after. And so we believe there were some in Israel who observed when the Pharisees in general said, this is what we're going to decide, but some people decided to do it differently, even as at times in the Bible student world, some partake at a different time. But we believe Jesus, of course, knew the right day. We think that he told his disciples, because 2 days earlier in John, it tells us that he told them, in 2 days, I will be crucified. So we think Jesus told them what was the right day, but that he wanted to eat it a day early so that it would be their last meal together. And he knew he was then going to institute the memorial. And the fact that others in Israel may have been eating at that time, it didn't seem too unusual for the disciples to go to town and ask about the preparation for the Passover. But in either case, brethren, God did not consider our Lord's Last Supper as part of the type. The last typical supper of Jesus and of the nation of Israel, we believe, was a year earlier in the year 32 AD. That was the last typical Passover. In the year 33, Jesus became the antitype of the type by dying on the cross at precisely the time the Passover lamb was to be slain. So Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly by dying at the correct time. We're just going to briefly touch now, brethren, on how astronomy confirms the date and the year Jesus died. From the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel, from the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince was to be 483 years, From previous studies, we have proven that that came out to October A.D. 29. Israel was yet to have one last week of favor. In the middle of that week, the Messiah was to be cut off, which would make it A.D. 33. Well, notice how astronomy is going to corroborate the facts that we have already shown. That Jesus died on a Friday, that Jesus died on the 14th of Nisan, for it was the day of preparation when Israel slew the Passover, and that the 14th of Nisan is always a full moon, 14 days after a new moon. We will copy a chart from this book on pagan festivals and Christian worship by Frank, and notice the chart. A report from the United States Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., giving the dates and days of the week of the Paschal full moon from A.D. 24 to 38. And notice, in the year 33 A.D., there was a full moon, and it was on a Friday. It was April the 3rd. Corroborating that we do have the correct understanding. Our Lord died on a Friday. It was a full moon. It was the 14th of Nisan. It was the year 33. Because notice other years, full moon was on a Friday, the Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. But in the 33rd, it was on a Friday. And so, brethren, we believe that this type was beautifully, perfectly fulfilled. The Passover lamb slain at 3 p.m., and the antitype, our Lord dying on the cross. And then he was in the tomb, part of the 14th, the 15th, and was raised from the dead in the morning of the 16th to become the first fruit of those that slept. Jesus fulfilled the type perfectly. But one incidental sidelight we want to note. Do you remember we mentioned that the 16th observance didn't take place until they entered the promised land? Some 40 years after the Exodus. Why? Well, brethren, we'd like to think that there's a little additional picture on Leviticus 23, and that is this. The 14th, 15th, and 16th picture three ages. The 14th is a picture, we believe, of the Jewish age. It was toward evening, towards the close of the Jewish age, that Jesus died as a ransom for man. The 15th, we believe, pictures the gospel age. Because you recall, the ones who were benefited, the first ones to benefit from the Passover blood, was the firstborn of Israel. And it is the firstborn in the gospel age who are the ones who are now saved, so to speak. Passover taken out from the bondage, they're delivered from the bondage of death. The 15th, this is when the passing over took place. That's when the firstborn were saved. Picturing the gospel age, the church, the firstborn. The 16th didn't take place until they entered the land, crossed Jordan, entered the land east of the Jordan. In previous studies, we've shown that we believe the land east of Jordan is a picture of the mediatorial reign. And so the fact that this sacrifice or this offering took place when they crossed Jordan, it somewhat is an indication that it pictures the mediatorial reign of the kingdom. Because the ultimate purpose for the exodus from Egypt was that they might come to the promised land east of Canaan. And that is when the waving of the first fruits picturing the thanksgiving for the blessings of the kingdom. And here, brethren, we'd like to point out that why is there 7 days of unleavened bread, and what is the antitype? We believe that the 7 days of unleavened bread picture this. Leaven is a picture of sin. You put a little leaven in a lump, and the whole lump becomes leaven. Fermentation takes place. And so it seems to be telling us that any and everyone who will ever receive life, will ever receive the blessings from that Passover lamb, will have to rid themselves fully and completely, seven a picture of completeness, will have to rid themselves of all sin. The church in the gospel age and the world of mankind in the millennial age will have to free themselves from all sin. So, brethren, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And brethren, at this season of the year, the Lord wants us to look inwardly, to examine ourselves, to rid ourselves of every single crumb, as it was in the houses of Israel. Every crumb of bread had to be removed. And so we are to search our hearts. Are we fulfilling the consecration vows that we have made? Are we daily becoming tired and wearied even in the service of the Lord, the truth and the brethren? Or are we perhaps rationalizing a bit? We see that it is so easy to be able to say, oh, when a task is to be done, let someone else do it. They're more talented. They have more time. They could really do a good job. Brethren, let us look inside. Do we have some leaven? Are we rationalizing? Let us keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Thank you, Brother George, for that detailed study of the Passover feast, a timely subject as we approach the memorial season. Brethren, there are many fine points here to be studied and proved whether they be so, and there will be printed copies of the charts used in this discourse available for the brethren at the rear of the hall at the close of this meeting.